Act 2, Scene 11. Hogwarts, Defense Against the Dark Arts Class. Albus enters the classroom, slightly unsure. Hermione.
Ah, yes. Our train absconder, finally joining us.
Albus.
Hermione.
He looks amazed. Hermione is standing at the front of the lesson. Hermione.
Professor Granger, I believe, is my name, Potter.
Albus.
What are you doing here?
Hermione.
Teaching. For my sins. What are you doing here? Learning, I hope.
Albus.
But you're Minister for Magic.
Hermione.
Been having those dreams again, have you, Potter? Today we're going to look at Patronus charms.
Albus. Amazed.
You're our defence against the dark arts, teacher.
There are titters. Hermione.
Losing patience now. 10 points from Gryffindor for stupidity.
Polly Chapman, standing, full of affront.
No, he's doing it deliberately. He hates Gryffindor and everyone knows it.
Hermione.
Sit down, Polly Chapman, before this gets even worse.
Polly sighs and then sits.
And I suggest you join her, Albus, and end this charade.
Albus.
But you're not this mean.
Hermione.
And that's 20 points from Gryffindor to assure Albus Potter that I am this mean.
Jan Fredericks.
If you don't sit down right now, Albus.
Albus sits. Albus.
Can I just say...
Hermione.
No, you can't. Just keep quiet, Potter. Otherwise you'll lose what limited popularity you already have. Now, who can tell me what a Patronus is? No? No one?
You really are a most disappointing bunch.
Hermione smiles a thin smile. She really is quite mean. Albus.
No, this is stupid.
Where's Rose? She'll tell you that you're being ridiculous.
Hermione.
Who's Rose? Your invisible friend?
Albus.
Rose Granger Weasley.
Your daughter.
He realises.
Of course. Because you and Ron aren't married, Rose.
There's giggling. Hermione.
How dare you? 50 points from Gryffindor, and I assure you, if anyone interrupts me again, it'll be 100 points.
She stares around the room. No one moves a muscle.
Good. A Patronus is a magical charm, a projection of all your most positive feelings, and takes the shape of the animal with whom you share the deepest affinity. It is a gift of light. If you can conjure a Patronus, you can protect yourself against the world, which, in some of our cases, seems like a necessity sooner rather than later.
Act 2, Scene 12. Hogwarts staircases. Albus walks up a staircase, looking around as he does. He doesn't see anything. He exits. The staircases move in almost a dance. Scorpius enters behind him. He thinks he's seen Albus. He realizes he isn't there. He slumps down to the floor as the staircase sweeps around. Madame Hooch enters and walks up the staircase. At the top, she gestures for Scorpius to move. He does, and slopes off, his abject loneliness clear. Albus enters and walks up one staircase. Scorpius enters and walks up another. The staircases meet. The two boys look at each other, lost and hopeful, all at once. And then Albus looks away, and the moment is broken. And with it, possibly, the friendship. And now the staircases part. The two look at each other, one full of guilt, the other full of pain, both full of unhappiness. Act 2, Scene 13. Harry and Ginny Potter's house. Kitchen. Ginny and Harry watch each other warily. There is an argument due, and both of them know it. Harry. This is the right decision. Ginny.
You almost sound convinced.
Harry. You told me to be honest with him, but actually I needed to be honest with myself. Trust what my heart was telling me. Ginny.
Harry, you have one of the greatest hearts of any wizard who ever lived, and I do not believe your heart told you to do this.
They hear a knock on the door.
Saved by the door. She exits.
After a moment, Draco enters, consumed by anger, but hiding it well. Draco.
I can't stay long. I won't need long.
Harry. How can I help? Draco.
I'm not here to antagonize you, but my son is in tears and I am his father, and so I am here to ask why you would keep apart two good friends.
Harry. I'm not keeping them apart. Draco.
You've changed school timetables. You've threatened both teachers and Albus himself. Why?
Harry looks at Draco carefully and then turns away. Harry. I have to protect my son. Draco.
From Scorpius?
Harry. Bane told me he sensed the darkness around my son. Near my son. Draco.
What are you implying, Potter?
Harry turns and looks Draco dead in the eye. Harry. Are you sure? Are you really sure he's yours, Draco? There's a deadly silence. Draco.
You take that back. Right now.
But Harry doesn't take it back. So Draco takes his wand out. Harry, you do not want to do this. Draco.
Yes, I do.
Harry. I don't want to hurt you, Draco. Draco.
How interesting. Because I do want to hurt you.
The two square up and then release their wands, Draco and Harry.
Expelliarmus!
Their wands repel and then break apart. Draco.
Incarcerus!
Harry dodges a blast from Draco's wand. Harry.
Tarantallegra!
Draco throws himself out of the way. Harry.
You've been practicing, Draco.
Draco.
And you've got sloppy, Potter. Densaguayo!
Harry just manages to get out of the way.
Harry. Rictus Sempra!
Draco uses a chair to block the blast. Draco.
Flipendo!
Harry is sent twirling through the air. Draco laughs.
Keep up, old man.
Harry.
We're the same age, Draco.
Draco.
I wear it better.
Harry.
Brachia Bindo!
Draco is bound tightly. Draco.
That really the best you got? Emancipare!
Draco releases his own binds.
Levi Corpus!
Harry has thrown himself out of the way.
Mobile Corpus! Oh, this is too much fun.
Draco bounces Harry up and down on the table, and then as Harry rolls away, Draco jumps onto the table. He readies his wand, but as he does, Harry hits him with a spell. Harry.
Obscuro!
Draco releases himself from his blindfold. As soon as it hits, the two square up. Harry throws a chair. Draco ducks underneath it and slows the chair with his wand. Ginny.
I only left this room 3 minutes ago.
She looks at the mess of the kitchen. She looks at the chairs suspended in the air. She signals them back to the floor with her wand, drier than dry.
What did I miss?
Act 2, Scene 14. Hogwarts staircases. Scorpius walks unhappily down a staircase. Delphi scurries in from the other side. Delphi.
So, technically, I shouldn't be here.
Scorpius.
Delphi.
Delphi.
In fact, technically, I'm endangering our entire operation, which is not, well, I'm not a natural risk-taker, as you know. I've never been to Hogwarts. Pretty lax security here, isn't there? And so many portraits. And corridors. And ghosts. This half-headless, strange-looking ghost told me where I could find you. Can you believe that?
Scorpius.
You've never been to Hogwarts?
Delphi.
I was unwell as a child for a few years. Other people got to go. I did not.
Scorpius.
You were too ill. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Delphi.
I don't advertise the fact. I prefer not to be seen as a tragic case, you know.
This registers with Scorpius. He looks up to say something, but Delphi suddenly ducks from view as a student walks past. Scorpius tries to look casual until the student passes.
Have they gone?
Scorpius.
Delphi, maybe it is too dangerous for you to be here.
Delphi. Well, someone's got to do something about this. Scorpius.
Delphi, none of it worked. Time turning. We failed.
Delphi.
I know. Albus owled me. The history books changed, but not enough. Cedric still died. In fact, failing the first task only made him more determined to win the second.
Scorpius.
And Ron and Hermione have gone completely skew-whiff, and I still haven't figured out why.
Delphi.
And that's why Cedric has to wait. It's all become quite confused, and you're entirely right to be keeping hold of the time turner, Scorpius. But what I meant was, someone's got to do something about the two of you.
Scorpius. Oh. Delphi.
Your best friends. Every owl he sends, I can feel your absence. He's destroyed by it.
Scorpius.
Sounds like he's found a shoulder to cry on. How many owls has he sent you now?
Delphi smiles softly.
Sorry. I just don't understand what's going on. I've tried to see him, talk to him, but every time I do, he runs off.
Delphi.
You know, I didn't have a best friend when I was your age. I wanted one. Desperately. When I was younger, I even invented one, but...
Scorpius.
I had one of those too, called Flurry. We fell out over the correct rules of gobstones.
Delphi.
Albus needs you, Scorpius. That's a wonderful thing.
Scorpius.
He needs me to do what?
Delphi.
That's the thing, isn't it? About friendships. You don't know what he needs. You only know he needs it. Find him, Scorpius. You two, you belong together.
Act 2, Scene 15. Harry and Ginny Potter's house. Kitchen. Harry and Draco sit far apart. Ginny stands between them. Draco.
Sorry about your kitchen, Ginny.
Ginny.
Oh, it's not my kitchen. Harry does most of the cooking.
Draco.
I can't talk to him either. Scorpius. Especially since Astoria has gone. I can't even talk about how losing her has affected him. As hard as I try. I can't reach him. You can't talk to Albus. I can't talk to Scorpius. That's what this is about. Not about my son being evil. Because as much as you might take the word of a haughty centaur, you know the power of friendship.
Harry. Draco, whatever you may think. Draco.
I always envied you them, you know. Weasley and Granger. I had...
Ginny.
Crabbe and Goyle.
Draco.
Two lunks who wouldn't know one end of a broomstick from another. You, the three of you, you shone, you know. You liked each other. You had fun. I envied you those friendships more than anything else.
Ginny. I envied them too. Harry looks at Ginny, surprised. Harry.
I need to protect him.
Draco.
My father thought he was protecting me, most of the time. I think you have to make a choice, at a certain point, of the man you want to be. And I tell you that at that time you need a parent, or a friend. And if you've learned to hate your parent by then, and you have no friends, then you're all alone. And being alone, that's so hard. I was alone, and it sent me to a truly dark place, for a long time. Tom Riddle was also a lonely child. You may not understand that, Harry, but I do. And I think Ginny does too.
Ginny. He's right. Draco.
Tom Riddle didn't emerge from his dark place, and so Tom Riddle became Lord Voldemort. Maybe the black cloud Bane saw was Albus's loneliness, his pain, his hatred. Don't lose the boy. You'll regret it. And so will he. Because he needs you, and Scorpius, whether or not he now knows it.
Harry looks at Draco. He thinks. He opens his mouth to speak. He thinks.
Ginny. Harry, will you get the flu powder or shall I?
Harry looks up at his wife. Act 2, Scene 16. Hogwarts Library. Scorpius arrives in the library. He looks left and right, and then he sees Albus, and Albus sees him. Scorpius.
Hi.
Albus.
Scorpius, I can't.
Scorpius.
I know, you're in Gryffindor now. You don't want to see me now. But here I am anyway, talking to you.
Albus.
Well, I can't talk, so...
Scorpius.
You have to. You think you can just ignore everything that's happened. The world has gone crazy. Have you noticed?
Albus.
I know, okay. Ron's gone strange. Hermione's a professor. It's all wrong, but...
Scorpius.
And Rose doesn't exist?
Albus.
I know. Look, I don't understand everything, but you can't be here.
Scorpius.
Because of what we did, Rose wasn't even born. Do you remember being told about the Triwizard Tournament Yule Ball? All the four Triwizard champions took a partner. Your dad took Parvati Patil. Victor Crumb took...
Albus.
Hermione. And Ron got jealous and behaved like a prat.
Scorpius.
Only he didn't. I found Rita Skeeter's book about them. And it's very different. Ron took Hermione to the ball.
Albus.
What?
Polly Chapman.
Shh!
Scorpius looks at Polly and drops his volume. Scorpius.
As friends. And they danced in a friendly way, and it was nice. And then he danced with Padma Patil, and that was nicer. And they started dating, and he changed a bit, and then they got married. And meanwhile, Hermione became a...
Albus.
Psychopath.
Scorpius.
Hermione was supposed to go to that ball with Crumb. Do you know why she didn't? Because she had suspicions the two strange Durmstrang boys she met before the first task were somehow involved in the disappearance of Cedric's wand. She believed we, under Victor's orders, cost Cedric the first task.
Albus.
Wow.
Scorpius.
And without Crumb, Ron never got jealous, and that jealousy was all important, and so Ron and Hermione stayed very good friends, but never fell in love, never got married, never had Rose.
Albus.
So that's why Dad's so... Did he change too?
Scorpius.
I'm pretty sure your dad is exactly the same. Head of magical law enforcement, married to Ginny, 3 kids.
Albus.
So why is he being such a...
A librarian enters at the back of the room. Scorpius.
Have you heard me, Albus? This is bigger than you and your dad. Professor Croker's Law. The furthest someone can go back in time without the possibility of serious harm to the traveller or time itself is 5 hours. And we went back years. The smallest moment, the smallest change, it creates ripples. And we've created really bad ripples. Rose was never born because of what we did. Rose!
Librarian.
Shh!
Albus thinks quickly. Albus.
Fine. Let's go back. Fix it. Get Cedric and Rose back.
Scorpius.
It's the wrong answer.
Albus.
You've still got the time turner, right? No one found it.
Scorpius takes it out of his pocket. Scorpius.
Yes, but...
Albus snatches it from his hand.
No, don't. Albus, don't you understand how bad things could get?
Scorpius grabs for the time turner. Albus pushes him back. They wrestle inexpertly. Albus.
Things need fixing, Scorpius. Cedric still needs saving. Rose needs bringing back. We'll be more careful. Whatever Croker says... Trust me. Trust us. We'll get it right this time.
Scorpius.
No, we won't. Give it back, Albus. Give it back!
Albus.
I can't. This is too important.
Scorpius.
Yes, it's too important for us. We're not good at this stuff. We'll get it wrong.
Albus.
Who's saying that we'll get it wrong?
Scorpius.
I say, because that's what we do. We mess things up. We lose. We're losers. True and total losers. Haven't you realised that yet?
Albus finally gets the upper hand and pins Scorpius to the ground. Albus.
Well, I wasn't a loser before I met you.
Scorpius.
Albus, whatever you've got to prove to your dad, this isn't the way.
Albus.
I don't have anything to prove to my dad. I've got to save Cedric, to save Rose, and maybe without you holding me back, I can make a proper go of it.
Scorpius.
Without me? Oh, poor Albus Potter, with his chip on his shoulder. Poor Albus Potter, so sad.
Albus.
What are you saying?
Scorpius, exploding.
Try my life! People look at you because your dad's the famous Harry Potter, saviour of the wizarding world. People look at me because they think my dad is Voldemort. Voldemort!
Albus.
Don't even...
Scorpius.
Can you even slightly imagine what that's like? Have you even ever tried? No, because you can't see beyond the end of your nose. Because you can't see beyond the end of your stupid thing with your dad. He will always be Harry Potter. You know that, right? And you will always be his son. And I know it's hard, and the other kids are awful, but you have to learn to be okay with that because there are worse things, okay?
Beat.
There was a moment I was excited when I realised time was different. A moment when I thought maybe my mum hadn't got sick. Maybe my mum wasn't dead. But no, turns out she was. I'm still the child of Voldemort. Without a mother, giving sympathy to the boy who doesn't ever give anything back. So I'm sorry if I've ruined your life because I tell you, you wouldn't have a chance of ruining mine. It was already ruined. You just didn't make it better because you're a terrible, the most terrible friend.
Albus digests this. He sees what he's done to his friend. Professor McGonagall, from offstage.
Albus? Albus Potter? Scorpius Malfoy, are you in there? Together? Because I advise you not to be.
Albus looks at Scorpius. He pulls a cloak from his bag. Albus,
quick, we need to hide.
Scorpius.
What?
Albus.
Scorpius, look at me.
Scorpius.
That's the invisibility cloak. Isn't it James's?
Albus.
If she finds us, we'll be forced apart forever. Please, I didn't understand. Please.
Professor McGonagall, from offstage, trying to give them every chance.
I am about to enter.
Professor McGonagall comes into the room, the Marauder's map in her hands. The boys disappear beneath the cloak. She looks around, exasperated.
Well, where have they... I never wanted this thing, and now it's playing tricks on me.
She thinks. She looks back at the map. She identifies where they should be. She looks around the room. Objects move as the boys invisibly move past them. She sees where they're heading. She makes to block them, but they skirt around her.
Unless your father's cloak.
She looks back at the map. She looks at the boys. She smiles to herself.
Well, if I didn't see you, I didn't see you.
She exits. The two boys remove the cloak. They sit in silence for a moment. Albus.
Yes, I stole this from James. He's remarkably easy to steal from. His trunk combination is the date he got his first broom. I found the cloak made avoiding bullies easier.
Scorpius nods.
I'm sorry about your mum. I know we don't talk about her enough, but I hope you know I'm sorry. It's rubbish. What happened to her? To you?
Scorpius.
Thanks.
Albus.
My dad said that you were this dark cloud around me. My dad started to think, and I just knew I had to stay away, and if I didn't, Dad said he would...
Scorpius.
Your dad thinks the rumours are true. I'm the son of Voldemort.
Albus nods.
His department are currently investigating it.
Scorpius.
Good. Let them. Sometimes I find myself thinking, maybe they're true too.
Albus.
No, they're not true, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't think Voldemort is capable of having a kind son. And you're kind, Scorpius. to the depths of your belly, to the tips of your fingers. I truly believe Voldemort couldn't have a child like you.
Beat. Scorpius is moved by this. Scorpius.
That's nice. That's a nice thing to say.
Albus.
And it's something I should have said a long time ago. In fact, you're probably the best person I know. And you couldn't hold me back. You make me stronger. And when Dad forced us apart, without you...
Scorpius.
I didn't much like my life without you in it either.
Albus.
And I know I'll always be Harry Potter's son, and I will sort that out in my head. And I know compared to you, my life is pretty good, really, and that he and I are comparatively lucky and...
Scorpius, interrupting.
Albus, as apologies go, this is wonderfully fulsome, but you're starting to talk more about you than me again, so probably better to quit while you're ahead.
Albus smiles and stretches out a hand.
Albus. Friends?
Scorpius.
Always.
Scorpius extends his hand. Albus pulls Scorpius up into a hug.
That's the second time you've done that.
The two boys break apart and smile.
Albus. But I'm pleased we had this argument because it's given me a really good idea.
Scorpius.
About what?
Albus.
It involves the second task and humiliation.
Scorpius.
You're still talking about going back in time. Have we been having the same conversation?
Albus.
You're right. We are losers. We're brilliant at losing, and so we should be using our own knowledge here. Our own powers. Losers are taught to be losers, and there's only one way to teach a loser, and we know that better than anyone. Humiliation. We need to humiliate him. So in the second task... That's what we'll do.
Scorpius thinks for a long time and then smiles. Scorpius.
That's a really good strategy.
Albus.
I know.
Scorpius.
I mean, quite spectacular. Humiliate Cedric to save Cedric. Clever. And Rose?
Albus.
That I'm saving as a sparkly surprise. I can do it without you. But I want you there, because I want us to do this together. Set things right together. So, will you come?
Scorpius.
But, just a minute, wasn't... The second task took place in the lake, and you're not allowed to leave the school building.
Albus grins.
Albus. Yes. About that, we need to find the girls' bathroom on the first floor.
Act 2. Scene 17. Hogwarts. Staircases. Ron is walking down the staircase, consumed, and then he sees Hermione, and his expression changes entirely. Ron.
Professor Granger!
Hermione looks across. Her heart leaps a bit too, though she won't admit it. Hermione.
Ron. What are you doing here?
Ron.
Pandu got in a little trouble in potions class. Was showing off, of course. And put the wrong thing with the wrong thing. And now he has no eyebrows and a rather large moustache, apparently. Which doesn't suit him. I didn't want to come, but Padma says that when it comes to facial growths, sons need their fathers.
Have you done something with your hair?
Hermione.
Just combed it, I suspect.
Ron.
Well, combing it suits you.
Hermione looks at Ron slightly strangely. Hermione.
Ron, will you stop looking at me like that?
Ron, summoning confidence.
You know, Harry's boy Albus said to me the other day that he thought you and I were... married? Ha ha! Ha ha! Ridiculous, I know.
Hermione.
Very ridiculous.
Ron.
He even thought we had a daughter. That'd be strange, wouldn't it?
The two lock eyes. Hermione is the first to break away. Hermione.
More than strange.
Ron.
Exactly. We're friends and that's all.
Hermione.
Absolutely. Only friends.
Ron.
Only friends. Funny word, friends. Not that funny. Just a word, really. Friends.
friend. Funny friend. You, my funny friend, my Hermione. Not that. Not my Hermione, you understand. Not my Hermione. Not mine. You know, but... Hermione. I know. There's a pause. Neither of them moves the smallest inch. Everything feels too important for movement. Then Ron coughs. Ron.
Well, must get on. Sort Panju out. Teach him the finer arts of moustache grooming.
He walks on. He turns. Looks at Hermione. She looks back. He hurries on again.
Your hair really does very much suit you.
Act 2, Scene 18. Hogwarts Headmistress's Office. Professor McGonagall is on stage on her own. She looks at the map. She frowns to herself. She taps it with her wand. She smiles to herself at a good decision made. Professor McGonagall.
Mischief managed.
There's a rattling. The whole stage seems to vibrate. Ginny is the first through the fireplace, and then Harry. Ginny.
Professor, I can't say that ever gets more dignified.
Professor McGonagall.
Potter, you're back, and you seem to have finally ruined my carpet.
Harry. I need to find my son. We need to. Professor McGonagall.
Harry, I've considered this and decided I want no part of it. Whatever you threaten, I...
Harry. Minerva, I come here in peace, not war. I should have never spoken to you that way. Professor McGonagall.
I just don't think I can interfere in friendships, and I believe...
Harry, I need to say sorry to you and sorry to Albus. Will you give me that chance?
Draco arrives behind them with a bang of soot. Professor McGonagall.
Draco?
Draco.
He needs to see his son. And I need to see mine.
Harry.
Like I say, peace, not war.
Professor McGonagall studies his face. She sees the sincerity she needs to see. She takes the map back out of her pocket. She opens it up. Professor McGonagall.
Well, peace is certainly something I can be part of.
She taps it with her wand, sighs.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
The map is lit into action.
Well, they are together.
Draco.
In the girls' bathroom on the first floor. What on earth would they be doing there?
Act 2, Scene 19. Hogwarts girls' bathroom. Scorpius and Albus enter a bathroom. In the centre of it is a large Victorian sink. Scorpius.
So let me get this right. The plan is engorgement.
Albus.
Yes. Scorpius, that soap if you may.
Scorpius fishes a soap out of the sink.
Engorgio!
He fires a bolt from his wand across the room. The soap blows up to 4 times its size. Scorpius.
Nice. Consider me engorge impressed.
Albus.
The second task was the lake task. They had to retrieve something which was stolen from them, which turned out to be...
Scorpius.
People they loved.
Albus.
Cedric used a bubblehead charm to swim through the lake. All we do is follow him in there and use engorgement to turn him into something rather larger. We know the time turner doesn't give us long, so we're going to be quick. Get to him and engorgio his head and watch him float out of the lake, away from the task, away from the competition.
Scorpius.
But you still haven't told me how we're going to actually get to the lake.
And then suddenly a jet of water emerges from the sink, and after it ascends a very wet, moaning myrtle.
Moaning myrtle.
Whoa! That feels good. I never used to enjoy that. But when you get to my age, you take what you can.
Scorpius.
Of course. You're a genius. Moaning myrtle.
Moaning myrtle swoops down onto Scorpius. Moaning myrtle.
What did you call me? Do I moan? Am I moaning now? Am I?
Scorpius.
No, I didn't mean...
Moaning myrtle.
What's my name?
Scorpius.
Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle.
Exactly. Myrtle. Myrtle Elizabeth Warren. Pretty name. My name. No need for the moaning.
Scorpius.
Well.
Moaning Myrtle. She giggles.
It's been a while. Boys in my bathroom. In my girl's bathroom. Well, that's not right. But then again, I always did have a soft spot for the Potters. And I was moderately partial to a Malfoy too. Now, how can I help you pair?
Albus.
You were there, Myrtle, in the lake. They wrote about you. There must be a way out of these pipes.
Moaning Myrtle.
I've been everywhere, but where specifically were you thinking?
Albus.
The second task. The lake task. In the Triwizard Tournament? 25 years ago. Harry and Cedric.
Moaning Myrtle.
Such a shame. The pretty one had to die. Not that your father is not pretty, but Cedric Diggory. You'd be amazed at how many girls I had to hear doing love incantations in this very bathroom, and the weeping after he was taken.
Albus.
Help us, Myrtle. Help us get into that same lake.
Moaning Myrtle.
You think I can help you travel in time?
Albus.
We need you to keep a secret.
Moaning Myrtle.
I love secrets. I won't tell a soul. Cross my heart and hope to die. Or the equivalent. For ghosts, you know.
Albus nods at Scorpius, who reveals the time-turner. Albus.
We can travel in time. You're going to help us travel the pipes. We're going to save Cedric Diggory.
Moaning Myrtle grins.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
Albus.
And we've no time to lose.
Moaning Myrtle.
This very sink empties directly into the lake. It breaks every bylaw, but this school has always been antiquated. Dive in, and you will be piped straight to it.
Albus pulls himself into the sink, dumping his cloak as he does. Scorpius copies. Albus hands Scorpius some green foliage in a bag. Albus.
Some for me, and some for you.
Scorpius.
Gillyweed. We're using gillyweed to breathe underwater.
Albus.
Just like my dad did. Now, are you ready?
Scorpius.
Remember, this time we can't be caught out by the clock.
Albus.
5 minutes. That's all we allow for before we get pulled back to the present.
Scorpius.
Tell me this is all going to be okay.
Albus, grinning.
It's all going to be entirely okay. Are you ready?
Albus takes the gillyweed and disappears down. Scorpius.
No! Albus! Albus!
He looks up. He and Moaning Myrtle are alone. Moaning Myrtle.
I do like brave boys.
Scorpius. A little bit scared. A tiny bit brave.
Then I'm entirely ready for whatever comes.
He takes the gillyweed and disappears down. Moaning Myrtle is left alone on stage. There is a giant whoosh of light and smash of noise. And time stops. And then it turns over, thinks a bit, and begins spooling backwards. The boys are gone. Harry appears at a run, a deep frown on his face. Behind him, Draco, Ginny, and Professor McGonagall. Harry.
Albus! Albus!
Ginny.
He's gone.
They find the boys' cloaks on the ground. Professor McGonagall, consulting the map.
He's disappeared. No, he's travelling under Hogwarts grounds. No, he's disappeared.
Draco.
How is he doing this?
Moaning Myrtle.
He's using a rather pretty trinket thingy.
Harry.
Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle.
Oops, you caught me, and I was trying so hard to hide. Hello, Harry. Hello, Draco. Have you been bad boys again?
Harry. What trinket is he using? Moaning Myrtle.
I think it was a secret, but I could never keep anything from you, Harry. How is it you've grown handsomer and handsomer as you've aged? And you're taller.
Harry. My son is in danger. I need your help. What are they doing, Myrtle? Moaning Myrtle.
He's after saving a dishy boy. A certain Cedric Diggory.
Harry immediately realises what's happened and is horrified. Professor McGonagall.
But Cedric Diggory died years ago.
Moaning Myrtle.
He seemed quite confident he could get around that fact. He's very confident, Harry. Just like you.
Harry. He heard me talking. To Amos Diggory. Could he have... The Ministry's time turner. No, that's impossible. Professor McGonagall.
The Ministry has a time turner? I thought they were destroyed.
Moaning Myrtle.
Isn't everyone so naughty?
Draco.
Can someone please explain what's going on?
Harry. Albus and Scorpius are not disappearing and reappearing. They're travelling. Travelling in time. Act 2. Scene 20. Tri-Wizard Tournament. Lake. 1995. Ludo Bagman.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I give you the greatest, the fabulous, the one and the only Tri-Wizard Tournament! If you're from Hogwarts, give me a cheer!
There's a loud cheer, and now Albus and Scorpius are swimming through the lake, descending through the water with graceful ease.
If you're from Durnstrang, give me a cheer!
There's a loud cheer.
And if you're from Beauxbatons, give me a cheer!
There's a slightly less limp cheer.
The French are getting into this, and they're off. Victor's a shark, of course he is. Fleur looks remarkable. Ever plucky Harry is using gillyweed. Clever Harry, very clever. And Cedric? Well, Cedric, what a treat, ladies and gentlemen. Cedric is using a bubble charm to cruise through the lake.
Cedric Diggory approaches them through the water, a bubble over his head. Albus and Scorpius raise their wands together and fire an engorgement charm through the water. He turns and looks at them, confused, and it hits him. And around him the water glows gold, and then Cedric starts to grow, and grow again, and grow some more. He looks around himself, entirely panicked, and the boys watch as Cedric ascends helplessly through the water.
But no! What's this? Cedric Diggory is ascending out of the water and seemingly out of the competition. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have our winner, but we certainly have a loser. Cedric Diggory is turning into a balloon, and this balloon wants to fly. Fly, ladies and gentlemen, fly! Fly out of the task and out of the tournament. And oh my, it gets wilder still. Around Cedric, fireworks explode, declaiming, Ron loves Hermione. And the crowd love that. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the look on Cedric's face. It's quite some picture. It's quite some sight. It's quite some tragedy. This is a humiliation. There's no other word for it.
And Albus smiles widely and high-fives Scorpius in the water. And Albus points up and Scorpius nods, and they start to swim ever upward. And as Cedric ascends, people start to laugh, and everything changes. The world becomes darker. The world becomes almost black, in fact. And there's a flash and a bang. And the time turner ticks to a stop, and we're back in the present. Scorpius suddenly emerges, shooting up through the water, and he's triumphant. Scorpius.
Woohoo!
He He looks around, surprised. Where's Albus? He puts his arms into the air.
We did it!
He waits another beat.
Albus?
Albus still doesn't emerge. Scorpius treads water, he thinks, and then he ducks back into the water. He emerges back up again, now thoroughly panicked. He looks around.
Albus! Albus! Albus!
And there's a whisper in parcel tongue, which travels fast around the audience.
He's coming! He's coming! He's coming!
Dolores Umbridge.
Scorpius Malfoy, get out of the lake. Get out of the lake, right now.
She pulls him out of the water. Scorpius.
Miss, I need your help. Please, miss.
Dolores Umbridge.
Miss, I'm Professor Umbridge, the headmistress of your school. I'm no miss.
Scorpius.
You're the headmistress, but I...
Dolores Umbridge.
I am the headmistress, and however important your family may be, it doesn't give you an excuse to dilly-dally, to mess about.
Scorpius.
There's a boy in this lake. You need to get help. I'm looking for my friend, Miss Professor, Headmaster, one of Hogwarts' students. Miss, I'm looking for Albus Potter.
Dolores Umbridge.
Potter? Albus Potter? There's no such student. In fact, there hasn't been a Potter at Hogwarts for years. And that boy didn't turn out so well. Not so much rest in peace, Harry Potter. More rest in perpetual despair. Total troublemaker.
Scorpius.
Harry Potter's dead.
Suddenly, from around the auditorium, the feel of a breath of the wind. Some black robes arise around people. Black robes that become black shapes. That become dementors. Flying dementors through the auditorium. These black, deadly shapes, these black, deadly forces. They are everything to be feared, and they suck the spirit from the room. The wind continues. This is hell. And then right from the back of the room, and whispering around everyone, words said with an unmistakable voice, the voice of Voldemort.
Potter.
Harry's dream has come to life. Dolores Umbridge.
Have you swallowed something funny in there? Become a mudblood without any of us noticing? Harry Potter died over 20 years ago as part of that failed coup on the school. He was one of those Dumbledore terrorists we bravely overthrew at the Battle of Hogwarts. Now come along. I don't know what game you're playing, but you're upsetting the Dementors and entirely ruining Voldemort Day.
And the parcel tongue whispers grow louder and louder, grow monstrously loud, and giant banners with snake symbols upon them descend over the stage. Scorpius.
Voldemort Day.
We cut to black. End of part one. Part 2. Part 2, Act 3. Act 3, Scene 1. Hogwarts, Headmistress's Office. Scorpius enters the office of Dolores Umbridge. He is dressed in darker, blacker robes. He has a pensive look on his face. He remains coiled and alert. Dolores Umbridge.
Scorpius, thank you so much for coming to see me.
Scorpius.
Headmistress?
Dolores Umbridge.
Scorpius, I've thought for a long time that you have head boy potential, as you know. Pure-blooded, a natural leader, wonderfully athletic.
Scorpius.
Athletic?
Dolores Umbridge.
No need to be modest, Scorpius. I've seen you on the Quidditch pitch. There's rarely a snitch you don't catch. You are a highly valued student, valued by the faculty, valued especially... by me. I've positively glowed about you in dispatches to the augury. Our work together, flushing out the more dilettante students, has made this school a safer, purer place.
Scorpius.
Has it?
There is the sound of a scream from off stage. Scorpius turns towards it, but he dismisses the thought. He must, and he will control himself. Dolores Umbridge.
But in the 3 days since I found you in the leg on Voldemort Day, you've become odder and odder. In particular, this sudden obsession with Harry Potter.
Scorpius.
I don't...
Dolores Umbridge.
Questioning everyone you can about the Battle of Hogwarts. How Potter died, why Potter died, and this ludicrous fascination with Cedric Diggory. Scorpius, we've checked you for hexes and curses. There were none we can see, so I'm asking if there's anything I can do to restore you to what you were.
Scorpius.
No, no, consider me restored. Temporary aberration, that's all.
Dolores Umbridge.
So we can continue our work together.
Scorpius.
We can.
She puts her hand to her heart and touches her wrist together. Dolores Umbridge.
For Voldemort and Fella.
Scorpius, trying to copy.
For, yes.
Act 3, Scene 2. Hogwarts Grounds. Carl Jenkins.
Hey, Scorpion King.
Scorpius is high-fived. It's painful. He takes it. Jan Fredericks.
We're still on, right? Tomorrow night?
Carl Jenkins.
Because we are ready to spill some proper mud-blood guts.
Polly Chapman.
Scorpius?
Polly Chapman is standing on the stairs. Scorpius turns towards her, surprised to hear her say his name. Scorpius.
Polly Chapman?
Polly Chapman.
Shall we cut to it? I know everyone is waiting to know who you're going to ask because, you know, you need to ask someone, and I've been asked by 3 people already, and I know I'm not alone in refusing them all, in case, you know, you were going to ask me.
Scorpius.
Right.
Polly Chapman.
Which would be great, if you were interested, which rumour is you are, and I just want to make clear, at this moment, that I am also interested, and that isn't a rumour, that's a fact. Fact.
Scorpius.
That's, great, but what are we talking about?
Polly Chapman.
The Blood Bowl, of course, who you, the Scorpion King, are taking to the Blood Bowl.
Scorpius.
You, Polly Chapman, want me to take you to a ball?
There is the sound of screaming behind him.
What is that screaming?
Polly Chapman.
Mudbloods, of course, in the dungeons. Your idea, wasn't it? What's going on with you? Oh, Potter, I've got blood on my shoes again.
She bends and carefully cleans the blood off her shoes.
Like the augury insists, the future is ours to make. So here I am, making a future. With you. For Voldemort and Valor.
Scorpius.
For Voldemort it is.
Polly walks on. Scorpius looks agonized after her. What is this world? And what is he within it? Act 3, Scene 3. Ministry of Magic, Office of the Head of Magical Law Enforcement. Draco is impressive in a way we haven't seen. He has the smell of power about him. Flying down either side of the room are augury flags, with the bird emblazoned in a fascistic manner. Draco.
You are late.
Scorpius.
This is your office.
Draco.
You are late and unapologetic. Maybe you are determined to compound the problem.
Scorpius.
You're head of magical law enforcement.
Draco.
How dare you? How dare you embarrass me and keep me waiting, and then not apologise for it?
Scorpius.
Sorry.
Draco.
Sir?
Scorpius.
Sorry, sir.
Draco.
I did not bring you up to be sloppy, Scorpius. I did not bring you up to humiliate me at Hogwarts.
Scorpius.
Humiliate you, sir?
Draco.
Harry Potter. Asking questions about Harry Potter, of all the embarrassing things. How dare you disgrace the Malfoy name?
Scorpius.
Oh, no. Are you responsible? No, no, you can't be.
Draco.
Scorpius?
Scorpius.
The Daily Prophet today. Three wizards blowing up bridges to see how many muggles they can kill with one blast. Is that you?
Draco.
Be very careful.
Scorpius.
The mudblood death camps. The torture. The burning alive of those that oppose him. How much of that is you? Mum always told me that you were a better man than I could see. But this is what you really are, isn't it? A murderer. A torturer. A...
Draco rises up and pulls Scorpius hard onto the table. The violence is surprising and deadly. Draco.
Do not use her name in vain, Scorpius. Do not score points that way. She deserves better than that.
Scorpius says nothing. Horrified and scared, Draco reads this. He lets go of Scorpius's head. He doesn't like hurting his son.
And no, those idiots blasting muggles. That's not my doing. Though it'll be me the augury asks to bribe the muggle prime minister with gold. Did your mother really say that of me?
Scorpius.
She said that grandfather didn't like her very much. Opposed the match. Thought she was too muggle-loving. Too weak. But that you defied him for her. She said it was the bravest thing she'd ever seen.
Draco.
She made being brave very easy, your mother.
Scorpius.
But that was another you.
He looks at his dad, who looks back with a frown.
I've done bad things. You've done worse. What have we become, Dad?
Draco.
We haven't become anything. We simply are as we are.
Scorpius.
The Malfoys. The family you can always rely on to make the world a murkier place.
This hits home with Draco. He looks carefully at Scorpius. Draco.
This business at the school. What's inspired it?
Scorpius.
I don't want to be who I am.
Draco.
And what's brought that on?
Scorpius desperately thinks for a way of describing his story. Scorpius.
I've seen myself in a different way.
Draco.
You know what I loved most about your mother? She could always help me find light in the darkness. She made the world, my world anyway, less... What was the word you used? Murky.
Scorpius.
Did she?
Draco studies his son. Draco.
There's more of her in there than I thought.
Beat. He looks at Scorpius carefully.
Whatever you're doing, do it safely. I can't lose you too.
Scorpius.
Yes, sir.
Draco looks at his son one last time, trying to understand his head. Draco.
For Voldemort and Valor.
Scorpius looks at him and backs out of the room. Scorpius.
For Voldemort and Valor.
Act 3, Scene 4. Hogwarts Library. Scorpius enters the library and starts to desperately look through books. He finds a history book. Scorpius.
How did Cedric become a Death Eater? What have I missed? Find me some light in the darkness.
Craig Bowker Jr.
Why are you here?
Scorpius turns to look at a rather desperate-looking Craig, his clothes tattered and worn. Scorpius.
Why can't I be here?
Craig Bowker Jr.
It's not ready yet. I'm working as fast as I can, but Professor Snape sets so much of it, and writing the essay in two different ways. I mean, I'm not complaining. Sorry.
Scorpius.
Start again, from the beginning. What's not ready?
Craig Bowker Jr.
Your potions homework, and I'm happy to do it. Grateful, even, and I know you hate homework and books, and I never let you down. You know that?
Scorpius.
I hate homework.
Craig Bowker Jr.
You're the Scorpion King. Of course you hate homework. What are you doing with a history of magic? I could do that assignment too.
Pause. Scorpius looks at Craig a moment and then walks away. Craig exits. After a moment, Scorpius returns with a frown. Scorpius.
Did he say Snape?
Act 3, Scene 5. Hogwarts Potions Classroom. Scorpius runs into the potions classroom, slamming the back door. Severus Snape looks up at him. Snape.
Did no one teach you to knock, boy?
Scorpius looks up at Snape, slightly breathless, slightly unsure, slightly exultant. Scorpius.
Severus Snape, this is an honour.
Snape.
Professor Snape will do fine. You may behave like a king at this school, Malfoy, but that doesn't make us all your subjects.
Scorpius.
But you're the answer.
Snape.
How very pleasant for me. If you've got something to say, boy, then please say it. If not, close the door on your way out.
Scorpius.
I need your help.
Snape.
I exist to serve.
Scorpius.
I just don't know what help I need. Are you still undercover now? Are you still working secretly for Dumbledore?
Snape.
Dumbledore? Dumbledore's dead, and my work for him was public. I taught in his school.
Scorpius.
No, that's not all you did. You watched the Death Eaters for him. You advised him. Everyone thought you'd murdered him. But it turned out you'd been supporting him. You saved the world!
Snape.
These are very dangerous allegations, boy, and don't think the Malfoy name will prevent me inflicting punishment.
Scorpius.
What if I was to tell you there was another world? Another world in which Voldemort was defeated at the Battle of Hogwarts, in which Harry Potter and Dumbledore's army won. How would you feel then?
Snape.
I'd say that the rumours of Hogwarts' beloved Scorpion King losing his mind are well-founded.
Scorpius.
There was a stolen time-turner. I stole a time-turner with Albus. We tried to bring Cedric Diggory back from the dead when he was dead. We tried to stop him winning the Triwizard Tournament, but by doing so we turned him into an almost different person entirely.
Snape.
Harry Potter won that Triwizard Tournament.
Scorpius.
He wasn't supposed to do it alone. Cedric was supposed to win it with him, but we humiliated him out of the tournament, and as a result of that humiliation he became a Death Eater. I can't work out what he did in the Battle of Hogwarts, whether he killed someone or... But he did something, and it changed everything.
Snape.
Cedric Diggory killed only one wizard, and not a significant one. Neville Longbottom.
Scorpius.
Oh, of course that's it. Professor Longbottom was supposed to kill Nagini, Voldemort's snake. Nagini had to die before Voldemort could die. That's it. You've solved it. We destroyed Cedric. He killed Neville. Voldemort won the battle. Can you see? Can you see it?
Snape.
I can see this is a Malfoy game. Get out before I alert your father and plunge you into deep trouble.
Scorpius thinks, and then plays his final, desperate card. Scorpius.
You loved his mother. I don't remember everything. I know you loved his mother. Harry's mother, Lily. I know you spent years undercover. I know without you the war could never have been won. How would I know this if I hadn't seen the other world?
Snape says nothing, overwhelmed.
Only Dumbledore knew, am I right? And when you lost him, you must have felt so alone. I know you're a good man. Harry Potter told his son, you're a great man.
Snape looks at Scorpius, unsure what's going on. Is this a trick? He is quite seriously at a loss. Snape.
Harry Potter is dead.
Scorpius.
Not in my world. He said you were the bravest man he'd ever met. He knew, you see. He knew your secret. What you did for Dumbledore. And he admired you for it. Greatly. And that's why he named his son my best friend. After you both. Albus, Severus, Potter.
Snape is stopped. He is deeply moved.
Please, for Lily, for the world, help me.
Snape thinks, and then walks up to Scorpius, taking out his wand as he does. Scorpius steps back, scared. Snape fires his wand at the door. Snape.
Colliportus!
An invisible lock slams into place. Snape opens a hatch at the back of the classroom.
Well, come on then.
Scorpius.
Just a question, but where exactly are we going?
Snape. We've had to move many times. Everywhere we've settled, they've destroyed. This will take us to a room hidden in the roots of the Whomping Willow. Scorpius.
Okay, who's we?
Snape. Oh, you'll see. Act 3, Scene 6, Campaign Room. Scorpius is pinned to the table by a rather magnificent-looking Hermione. Her clothes faded, her eyes blazing. She is full warrior now, and it rather suits her. Hermione.
You make one more move, and your brain will be a frog, and your arms will be rubber.
Snape.
Safe. He's safe.
Beat.
You know, you never could listen. You're a terrible bore of a student, and you're a terrible bore of whatever you are.
Hermione.
I was an excellent student.
Snape.
You were moderate to average. He's on our side.
Scorpius.
I am, Hermione.
Hermione looks at Scorpius, still very distrustful. Hermione.
Most people know me as Granger, and I don't believe a word you say, Malfoy.
Scorpius.
It's all my fault. My fault. And Albus's.
Hermione.
Albus? Albus Dumbledore? What's Albus Dumbledore got to do with this?
Snape.
He doesn't mean Dumbledore. You may need to sit down.
Ron runs in, his hair spiked, his clothes scruffy. He is slightly less good at the rebel look than Hermione is. Ron.
Snipe! A royal visit and...
He sees Scorpius and is immediately alarmed.
What's he doing here?
He fumbles out his wand.
I'm armed and entirely dangerous and seriously advise you.
He realizes his wand is around the wrong way and turns it right.
To be very careful.
Snape.
He's safe, Ron.
Ron looks at Hermione, who nods. Ron.
Thank Dumbledore for that.
Act 3, Scene 7. Campaign Room. Hermione's sitting studying the time-turner as Ron tries to digest it all. Ron.
So you're telling me that the whole of history relies on Neville Longbottom?
This is pretty wild. Hermione.
It's true, Ron.
Ron.
Right, and you're sure because...
Hermione.
What he knows about Snape, about all of us. There's no way he could...
Ron.
Maybe he's a really good guesser.
Scorpius.
I'm not. Can you help?
Ron.
We're the only ones that can. Dumbledore's army has shrunk considerably since its peak. In fact, we're pretty much all that's left. But we've kept fighting on, hiding in plain sight, doing our best to tickle their nose hairs. Granger here is a wanted woman. I'm a wanted man.
Snape, dryly.
Less wanted.
Hermione.
To be clear, in this other world, before you meddled...
Scorpius.
Voldemort is dead, killed in the Battle of Hogwarts. Harry is head of magical law enforcement. You're Minister for Magic.
Hermione stops, surprised by this. She looks up with a smile. Hermione.
I'm Minister for Magic.
Ron, wanting to join the fun.
Brilliant. What do I do?
Scorpius.
You run Weasley's Wizard Wheezes.
Ron.
Okay, so she's Minister for Magic and I run a joke shop.
Scorpius looks at Ron's hurt face. Scorpius.
You mostly focus on bringing up your kids.
Ron.
Great, I expect their mother is hot.
Scorpius, blushing.
Well, depends what you think of... The thing is, you two sort of have kids together, a daughter and a son.
The two look up astonished.
Married. In love. Everything.
You were shocked the other time, too. When you were Defence Against the Dark Arts teacher and Ron was married to Padma, you're constantly surprised by it. Hermione and Ron both look at each other, and then look away. And then Ron looks back. Ron clears his throat repeatedly, with less conviction each time. Hermione.
Close your mouth when you're looking at me, Weasley.
Ron does so, though he remains discombobulated.
And Snape? What does Snape do in this other world?
Snape. I'm dead, presumably. He looks at Scorpius. Scorpius's face drops. Snape smiles thinly.
You were a little too surprised to see me. How?
Scorpius.
Bravely.
Snape.
Who?
Scorpius.
Voldemort.
Snape.
How very irritating. There's a silence as Snape digests this. Still, there's glory in being taken down by the Dark Lord himself, I suppose.
Hermione.
I'm sorry, Severus.
Snape looks at her, and then swallows the pain. He indicates Ron with a flick of his head.
Snape.
Well, at least I'm not married to him.
Hermione.
Which spells did you use?
Scorpius.
Expelliarmus in the first task and Engorgio in the second.
Ron.
Simple shield charms should set both of those right.
Snape.
And then you left.
Scorpius.
The time turner took us back, yes. That's the thing, the time turner. You only get 5 minutes in the past.
Hermione.
And can you still only move in time, not space?
Scorpius.
Yes, yes, it's... you travel back in the same spot you stand in.
Hermione.
Interesting.
Snape and Hermione both know what this means.
Snape.
Then it's just me and the boy.
Hermione.
No offence, Snape, but I'm not trusting this to anyone. It's too important.
Snape.
Hermione, you're the most wanted rebel in the wizarding world. Doing this will require you go outside. When was the last time you were outside?
Hermione.
Not for a long time, but...
Snape.
If you're found outside, the Dementors will kiss you. They'll suck out your soul.
Hermione.
Severus, I'm done with living off scraps, making failed attempts at coups. This is our chance to reset the world.
She nods at Ron, who pulls down a map.
The first task of the tournament took place at the edge of the Forbidden Forest. We turn time here, get to the tournament, block the spell, and then return safely. With precision, it can be done and it won't require us to show our faces outside in our time at all. Then we'll turn time again, make our way to the lake, and reverse the second task.
Snape.
You're risking everything.
Hermione.
We get this right. Harry's alive, Voldemort's dead, and the augury is gone. For that, no risk is too great. Though I am sorry what it will cost you.
Snape.
Sometimes costs are made to be borne.
The two look at each other. Snape nods. Hermione nods back. Snape's face crumbles slightly.
I didn't just quote Dumbledore, did I?
Hermione with a smile.
No, I'm pretty sure that's pure Severus Snape.
She turns to Scorpius. She indicates the time-turner.
Malfoy?
Scorpius brings her the time-turner. She smiles at it, excited to use a time-turner again, excited to use it for this.
Let's hope this works.
She takes the time-turner. It begins to vibrate, and then it explodes into a storm of movement, and there is a giant whoosh of light, a smash of noise, and time stops. And then it turns over, thinks a bit, and begins spooling backwards, slow at first. There is a bang and a flash, and our gang disappears. Act 3, Scene 8, Edge of the Forbidden Forest, 1994. And we watch our scene from Part 1 replayed, but at the back of the stage rather than the front. We pick out Albus and Scorpius in their Durmstrang robes, and through it all we hear the brilliant, his words again, Ludo Bagman. Scorpius, Hermione, Ron, and Snape watch out anxiously. Ludo Bagman.
And Cedric Diggory has entered the stage, and he seems ready, scared, but ready. He dodges this way, he dodges that. The girls swoon as he dives for cover. They cry as one, "Don't damage our Diggory, Mr. Dragon!" And Cedric skirts left and he dives right, and he readies his wand.
Snape. This is taking too long. The time turner is spinning. Ludo Bagman.
What has this young, brave, handsome man got up his sleeves now?
As Albus attempts to summon Cedric's wand, Hermione blocks his spell. He looks at his wand, disconsolate, unsure why it hasn't worked. And then the time turner spins, and they look at it, and panic as they're pulled into it.
A dog! He's transfigured a stone into a dog! Dog Diggity Cedric Diggory, you are a doggy dynamo!